said, "Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I'm willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately, he was cleansed of his leprosy. Then Jesus said to him, "See that you don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them." It seems so good to be back here and preaching. I'm so thankful for my church. I saw Jim. I knew he had been working hard on this drainage problem over here. And he was dragging a big length of pipe, so I went to check on him. I said, "Are you discouraged?" He said, "Only about the news." And then he asked me if I was discouraged. I said, "I think I got the best church in Maine. So what's there to be discouraged about?" So I thank the Lord for you and for your love for Christ and your support of this ministry. And let's lift Jesus higher together. While I was on vacation, you know, my brother Ernest, some of you have met him. He was pushing a boat out, and the boat got off the trailer and started heading out by itself out into Big Lake. And he took a big jump, and when he jumped, his shin went right along the boat trailer like that. And he peeled about that much skin right off the bone on his shin. That had to hurt. Well, he went to the ER, and the doctor kind of did a sort of a cleansing and tried to get the skin to stick onto the bone and wrapped it up with, put little butterflies on it. And after 2 or 3 days, there were red streaks coming out from the, you know, that's not good. So he went to the ER, and the doctor said, you've got a few choices. One, you can let me debride this, and you begin taking heavy doses of antibiotic. Two, you can lose your leg. Three, you can die. So it didn't seem like much of a choice. Okay. Now, if Ernest were a leper, he wouldn't have felt the pain. Do you understand that about leprosy? Leprosy is a nerve disease. People, you know, in this world, if you're going to debate Christianity, one of the things that people against Christianity or atheists are famously ask is, what about the problem of pain? And leprosy is one thing that indicates that pain is actually a gift from God that says we're going the wrong way. And Ernest, he didn't go swimming this summer, which if you knew my brother, you'd know that was an amazing thing, because he's older than me and he's still a water baby. But his pain was such and his concern was such, he took very careful care of that wound and it's healing up nicely now. But I'll have to tell you, he was inspired to send a picture of it at one point. I was inspired not to put it up on the screen. But I can tell you, it's some gross. You couldn't see any bone because all you could see was pus. Yes. It looked kind of like a cheese pizza. You didn't want to hear that, did you? Yeah. I'm going to talk some more. You know, A leper doesn't feel that pain. Now, when Ernest, at one point in the summer, he was starting to feel better, and, you know, he bought soccer shin guards so he could keep that covered. He had his bandages on, put a shin guard over it. But one time he was taking off his shoes, had his shin guard off, and you know how when you put one toe on your heel and you pull, he pulled his shoe off and kicked himself right on that spot. Set himself back some. See, that pain was, it was good. It let him know he shouldn't have done that. If he'd had leprosy, he wouldn't have known the difference. See? A leper, if they bite their lip, they don't feel it. Have you ever bitten your lip and then got a sore from the bite? Yeah? Well, you take care of that, don't you? And if it gets really bad, you get some medicine. Lepers wouldn't feel that. And so people with leprosy, they can get sores in their mouths that don't heal. They can wear their lips away or their nostrils away. They can wear their fingers off. They can go blind because they don't feel pain and their eyes don't know to blink. And the eyes can dry out. So it's really a horrendous disease. And not only that, in terms of Bible stuff, it was used as the example for quarantine in Leviticus, in the book of Leviticus. God gave the children of Israel quarantine laws, which was astounding. No other nation on the planet had the quarantine law. God gave them the quarantine law. You know, people complain about the law, and people today try to say, well, the law is irrelevant. But there's another place in the law where it said, and don't be messing with the wild animals. They're dirty. And if the Chinese had thought, you know, that's a good law, then COVID wouldn't be all over the planet, right? So we can count up like, I don't know, 7 million deaths or how many COVID deaths are there? Because the Chinese thought, well, that was for 3,000 years ago, and that was a Jewish deal. So let's see what diseases these animals really have. So that leprosy was the example used for the quarantine laws. If you were a leper, you'd go. If you saw a sore that wouldn't heal, you'd go to the priest and he'd examine it. He had particular specifics. He'd decide if it's leprosy or not. If it's leprosy, you had to leave your family. And you had to let your hair become unkempt. And you had to put a cloth across your face. And if you went into public, you had to cry. What did you cry? Anyone remember? Unclean. 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 I'm dirty. I'm dirty. I'm dirty. I'm dirty. And you know, if you had a sore like Ernest and you had to look at that and it wasn't getting better, you would feel unclean, wouldn't you? Now somehow this guy figured out that Jesus could heal his leprosy. Now Jesus had not given all the miracle that he's going to do. Jesus had not had a lot of time in his ministry yet to do a lot of miracles. It says at the end of chapter 5 that he began to preach and teach and do miracles. That's kind of, I think, a summation of his ministry. Not that he'd done the major amount of miracles at the outset. What has just happened is that Jesus has taught the Sermon on the Mount. And to sum up the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus has made the point, you've got to be real. You've got to be genuine. And fake won't do. So when you give, don't sound a trumpet so that everyone will pat you on the back and say, oh, you're a great person. Because you're just exposing, you're using your gift so that you can be worshipped, not that you love God. And when you fast, don't make a big display and show off your fasting so everyone can say, oh, he's a holy guy. And you go through all, I mean, there's a lot of teaching in the Sermon on the Mount. And the gist of it is, if your righteousness does not exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees, you don't have a shot, you don't have a hope, you don't have a prayer. And then he says some of the scariest words in the Bible. Be ye perfect, even as my Father in heaven is perfect. And he sets us all up for grace. We all fall before Christ when we read those words and we say, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Now, if I preached the Sermon on the Mount as though I kept the Sermon on the Mount, you'd say, oh, I know that guy. He's one of those Pharisees. You'd say, I know that guy. He's a fake. Because the standard of God for holiness is perfection. But somehow the leper hears about what Jesus says. And he decides, he doesn't decide that Jesus is a fake. He decides that Jesus is the real thing. And I'm here to tell you this morning, this Savior whom we worship, he is the real thing. And he is worthy of all praise. He's the Master and Savior. He's the lover of our soul. He's genuine. And he never, ever sinned. Never once did he sin. When he hung on the cross, he did not die for his sin. He died for my sin. And for your sin. And for the sin of the world. Somehow, this guy understood that Jesus could heal him. Now, leprosy, I think that the account we have is a literal historical account, but I want to make a point regarding leprosy in likening it to our sin, because leprosy caused a loss of feeling, and that's what sin often does for people. It says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 19, Paul is talking to, in opening chapter of Ephesians, it says, to the saints of Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. And he talks about the free grace we talked to the children about this morning. You know, grace is free. And then he says, but there's an obedience that comes by grace. And he said, you've got to live a different way. In chapter 4, he talks about the old way. And he talks about the new way. And he says, you guys that are stealing, you've got to quit stealing. You saints in Ephesus, isn't that a contrast? You saints in Ephesus, those that steal, steal no more, but work with your hands so that you may provide for your own needs and also for the needs of others. And there's a great, in chapter 4, there's a great description of two paths. The path you've been walking on, and the new path in Christ Jesus, the path of grace, where it says in the last verse of the chapter, verse 32, be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Ephesians 4:32. Do you ever hear that at camp? Doesn't that sound like the life of grace? I receive grace, I'm going to give grace. But what does that say about the old way? The old way was a broken way. There's no grace. There's just punishment and vengeance and anger. And all of that is destructive. And then in verse 19 it says, having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. And here's the thing about sin. When you get used to a sin, you stop feeling guilty about it. The pain goes away. You get used to lying. You can get good at lying. I had counseling many, many years ago with a young fellow, and he was trying to deal with, he had sex addiction, and he was trying to deal with that and talking to me about that. And he was doing pretty well. Instead of taking home a different woman every, he actually had a girlfriend who was a Christian. And they were being careful and they were being circumspect, and he came in to my office and one day, and he looked just like, he looked almost green. He felt sick. And I said, what happened? He said, oh, I was in the grocery store and I saw this real pretty woman. And I went up to her. He was a real handsome guy. He said, what are you buying? She said, cat food. He said, I wish I could be your kitty and you could take care of me. And that woman went, he's a really handsome guy. She went, ah. And his girlfriend found out about it. And that was it. He was sick of himself. Do you know why he was green? He was aware he was like the leper. It didn't feel wrong. He'd been used to doing that all his adult life. He was like, you ever see these Olympic skiers? They go down the slope and then they fly 150 feet in the air and they're doing all these topsy-turvy things and then they land on their feet and it looks like, oh, that was easy. They can do that. It's like they do it without even thinking about it. He could do that stuff without even thinking about it. Okay? But he saw himself as a leper. He felt like, I'm never going to have a normal relationship with a woman. I'm never going to have a marriage. That's what he felt like. Leprosy, it eats away at your life. And you know, you can be a controlling person and you've tried to control people so long that it doesn't even feel wrong anymore. But even if it doesn't feel wrong, it can still make us sore. It can still make you can drive people away from you. You list any sin you want to think of. It's destructive. That's why God said it's sin. Even if people don't understand that it's destructive or feel that it's destructive. So the leper comes before Jesus and he kneels. I think that's very instructive. People are not going to get into the kingdom of God without kneeling. You've got to humble yourself. We have to humble ourselves. And we have to say, Lord, I need help. I can't help myself. That's one of the powers. That's a real power behind Celebrate Recovery or any number of recovery programs, is that you have other people to talk to about your problems and about your sin and to hold you accountable. That's the blessing of it. But it is very humbling to come before people or to come before Christ and acknowledge, I'm a leper. I have this problem. I don't like it. Now, Jesus had the power, but the man didn't know if Jesus was willing, because the man didn't feel worthy. Do you understand that? I think he thought, after he'd heard Jesus or heard about Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount, he thought, here's the real thing. Here's a guy that's holy. Here's a man. Here's the Messiah, the man with spiritual power. He can heal me if he wants. See, he didn't know. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, we feel like, I don't know, I've done this so many times. I can't seem to stop. He can heal me, but does he want to? And does he even want me? Because we can feel worse than anyone about what we are and what we've become. I'll bet the leper felt worse than his wife about his leprosy, if he had a wife. And Jesus, this is the Savior we serve, reached out and touched the man. You know, that was against the law, right? You were not supposed to touch an unclean person. But somehow, when Jesus touched the man, he wasn't unclean anymore. He touched the man because he's willing. And I don't think that Jesus was there suppressing his gag reflex. You know, going... like, he saw the man's need. The man, he asked for healing because if he got healed, then he could... he could, if he had a family, he could go hug his wife. If he had children, he could go hug his children. You see, he had asked for this thing, but Christ gave him so much more. The power of leprosy over a person was that it was completely isolating. You could not be with anybody except lepers. You could not touch other people. And there's a tremendous experience of isolation that people get if they don't get a hug or a touch, or they need that. I've appreciated so much the nurses' aids. When I've been down with my mother down in Florida, I see the nurses' aides come in and they wait on my mother and they touch her hand, they touch her shoulder, they touch her arm, they give her a hug. I appreciate that so much because I'm not there to do that. My father was angry once. Actually, he was angry most of the time when I was a kid. Karen can testify. He was mad because we had a preacher when I was a kid who wanted everyone to hug during the greeting time. I'm not going to hug people. He can't make me hug people. And he was mad at the preacher because of the hugs. My aunt, who was divorced, said, "You know, the only time I ever touch another human being is in church on Sunday." She said, "That means so much to me. You think of what it meant to the leper." I don't know if he's willing or not. He could have stood from afar. You know, he healed the centurion's servant from miles away. He could have stood from afar. But he put his hand on him. I believe he probably looked him right in the eye. It said, "I'm willing. Be clean." This is the Jesus that we serve. Now, I'm not like that. I was in Africa, and when I grew up, I was probably 15 or 16 before I ever really met an African-American person. Bob Price was the director of music at Big Lake. And we got together for a group picture, and you know how they herd the whole camp together? And I was standing directly on a platform directly behind Bob Price. And I just wanted to touch his hair. I enjoyed shaking Bob's hand because I was curious, you know, a kid, right? So I get to Africa, and I was in Malawi, and I took a picture of a bunch of kids, and then I showed them the picture, and they all crowded around me, and I put my hands out like that, and they were interested. They wanted to touch me, and they all had to come have a look. And then among the children, there was one who had pink eyes so bad, one eye was completely encrusted with pus, and the other one just had the tiniest pupil, just a little child. And I didn't let her touch me. But I want to be like Jesus. You know what I'm saying? I'm not like Jesus, but I worship Jesus, and I'm trying. And brothers and sisters, you can't worship Jesus without wanting to be like him. Real worship. It says in one of the Corinthians, when we see his glory, we reflect it. We're like mirrors. And when he is the focus of our attention, then people see Christ in our life. That's why I want to lift Jesus up. Because I want me, and I want you, I want all of us to be more like Jesus. I want us to trust him when we feel so disgusted with ourselves, so discouraged with ourselves, when we feel like giving up on ourselves, that we would turn to Christ again. And we say, "Lord Jesus, would you have me?" You know what he says. "Yeah, I'll have you." It says in Hebrews, therefore we come before Jesus. We come before his throne of grace in our time of... Anybody remember that verse? In our time of what? In our time of need. We come to Jesus. We come to the throne of grace boldly. How can you come boldly when you need grace? We know the character of Christ. We know he came for us. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. This is the one we worship and bring him honor and glory. Now, Jesus said, don't tell anyone. Everybody was always ignoring that command. He said, go show yourself to the priests. And that was part of the social healing that happened in the man's life. Because one of the things that happened was when the priest declared you unclean, you were unclean. The community knew you were unclean. So the relationship with the community was broken. And when Christ enters in, there's a healing that can even affect your relationships in the community with other people. When I was a child, I was the youngest of, still am the youngest of five boys. But when I was real little, like six and everything, I had two ways of fighting with my brothers. One was I could cry on at command. I got them in so much trouble. But that wasn't enough, because sometimes mom and dad went to prayer meeting and there were scores to be settled. All the real crimes in our house happened when my folks were at prayer meeting. And really hysterical fighting that my brothers would, they didn't want to mess with me because I just have a meltdown. And I came to Christ when I was eight, and it wasn't very long after, it wasn't a year before my brother Ernest said to me, "You've changed." I want to change more. See, when Christ comes in your life, the people around you will say, something's different. Something's different. That's what happened to the leper. He had to go to the priests so they could say, you're clean. And it healed the relationships that were all messed up in his life. May God do that in our lives.